I want to thank the church also, Jill and I, for the place you've given us to stay. It's very nice. And Pastor and his family took us to the Cattleman, and it was very, very nice. So I think I tried to burn off some of the calories when I was given that. So anyway, we appreciate you so much. And it touches us very deeply that you would give. And I know how it is in giving, because you give to Faith Promise, and you know, you put the money in, and you praise God for it. You're happy to be part of that. But things are happening in Sri Lanka and around the world because of your faithfulness. And there's a connection, a direct connection between what you do here and what happens around the world. And we're grateful, and we thank God that He's using you in not only in our work, but in other works around the world. And I really mean that. It's an honor to be here. I came in and I saw this auditorium, and I remembered having been here before, because in my opinion, it's one of the greatest auditoriums in the world, because you're close to everybody. This is a difficult auditorium to kind of zone out in. And some of them, if you're in the back, you can zone out. But in this one, the preacher's in your face, no matter where you are. And so I love that about this auditorium. And, you know, you're right up in everybody's lap if you want to be, amen. But the only negative is, if you're a spitter like I can be, it could be a little difficult. Let's open our Bibles, please. The book of John, chapter 3 and verse 14. John 3:14, and we're going to read 14, 15, 16, and then we'll have another word of prayer and get into the message tonight. John chapter 3 and verse 14. If you'll stand with me, if you're physically able, we'll look at these verses. We'll read these verses, John 3:14, and get into the message. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You once again for the privilege and honor to be here at Shasta Baptist Church. And thank You for how You've blessed this work through the many, many years. And Lord, we praise You that Jill and I can be a part of what You're doing here. We just give You much glory and praise for that. Lord, help me to preach the message You've laid on my heart. Speak to our hearts. Lord, do what You want to do. May I not interfere with what You're doing here this evening. And Lord, I pray You'd feed Your sheep. I pray if there's a lost person here, they come to know You as Savior. And Lord, I ask You to please send laborers into Your harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we have John 3:16, which we just read. We've read three verses. But all the context of John 3:16 is John 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Of course, that's referring to our Lord and Savior being lifted up on a cross. But the context, as Jesus Himself is telling us that, He starts with Moses in the wilderness. So He uses Moses in the wilderness as a springboard into the fact that God sent His Son so that every person on the planet can be saved. Now, every person will not be saved, but whoever's not saved, it's not Jesus' fault, because He died for all of us. He's the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we know that. So going into that verse, John 3:16, we start out with Moses in the wilderness. So He's referring back to actually something that happened in the book of Numbers. So let's turn back to the book of Numbers, if you would. Let's turn all the way back to Numbers chapter number 21, and we're going to look at the context of this. So in Numbers 21, We're going to start with verse 4, Numbers 21, verse 4. So the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, and the Bible says here in verse 4, as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So they had been in this thing for a long time, and they were getting discouraged. And that the thing about the children of the wilderness is they were humans. And humans tend to be that way sometimes. We can get discouraged, and they did. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? So now they're complaining against God. God holds our breath in His hand. God causes our hearts to beat. God feeds us. He fed me all my life long, even till this day. You've never had a bite of food that God didn't give you. None of us have. And God takes such good care of us. But so many times, I'm not preaching at you. I'm telling you the truth about who we are as humans. The smallest thing can happen, and suddenly, you know, life is bad. And we should never feel that way because God is so good to us. And it's amazing how we'll go from one. It's amazing how on Sunday morning we're praising and just thanking God, and we feel so blessed and so overwhelmed that God would take such good care of us. And Monday morning, we can be in the depths of just gloom and doom, and nothing changed but me. Isn't that something? So these folks, you know, they were complaining, they were murmuring, they were complaining against God and against Moses, and wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, what they used to call angel food. This miraculous manna from heaven that God fed them with every single day. Now they're saying, we hate this stuff. Our soul loatheth this stuff. And they're complaining against Moses and against God. And when you complain against something, when you complain against something or somebody God gave you, you're also complaining against God. Isn't that interesting? You complain, in this case it was Moses. A parallel that would be your pastor. You complain about your pastor. Who sent your pastor? And to young people, I'm glad young people are in here tonight. Just because I'm glad. Not because I have something special for you, but hopefully it'll be for everybody. But I'm thinking, what a lot of times young people complain about their parents. You did choose your parents. And guess what? They didn't choose you. God gave you those parents. I'm telling you what, you start complaining against your parents. Really, ultimately, you're kind of complaining against God. Do you see that connection? And the Bible talks about how a wife is a gift from the Lord. Tell you what, you get bitter, and the Bible tells us men about getting bitter against our wives. He must know something about us because he tells us that over and over again. You think about that. God gave you that wife. You start getting a little disgruntled with your wife. It's God that you're really disgruntled with. We complain. They complain against Moses and against God. They didn't do it in disguise. They were talking to both of them. And so God, you know, God's God. We don't call Him God for nothing. And so here's what God did. the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And fiery serpents, I'll tell you what there are. Those are serpents, those are snakes. Those are snakes that are fiery. That'd be an awesome sight, wouldn't it? Just to see one of those. I didn't mean a red snake. If it had been a red snake, you know what the Bible would have said? Red snakes. God got tired of hearing their complaining, and so he sent fiery serpents among them. And the Bible says they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The miracle is, you say, why would God do that? Well, here's the miracle, is why didn't he do it months before? And the miracle is all of them didn't die. Because if they got justice, if they'd gotten what was fair, they all would have died. Thank God he doesn't give us what's fair, does he? He's a gracious God, isn't he? So here's what happened next. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Step one, we have sinned. You know what they didn't say? Lord, if we sinned, did they? That's like the apology that's not an apology. If I was a jerk, I'm sorry. You know what a real apology is? I was a jerk. I'm sorry. So they came with the real deal, didn't they? We have sinned. And so they said that, and so that was good. We've spoken again, and they named their sin. You know what happens when you name your sin, what the Bible calls that? Confession. Confession. If you confess your sins, if you tell God, I did it, Lord, here's what I did, that's confessing. So they named it. They said, we have sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. They're talking to Moses here. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So they came to God, and God said, here's what I want you to do. Moses, you make you a serpent. Make a serpent of brass. Here's my serpent of brass right here. And he said, you put it up on a pole, and you lift it up in the air. And he said, everybody that looks on it, I'm going to see if this will go up a little bit. I'll probably end up breaking something, but I hope not. He said, you just stick it right up in the air there. And he said, everybody that looks, if they've been bitten, if they'll look, try not to look. He said, I don't want to hit that speaker. He said, if you look, you'll live. That good? Simple, wasn't it? And we use that a lot for a gospel message, a salvation message. If you look to Jesus, he's the answer. If you look to him knowing who he is and knowing who you are, you're going to live. We know that's true. But he said, if you look, you'll live. Simple, wasn't it? From that time forward, from that moment forward, how many people had to die? Zero. This remedy was for everybody, wasn't it? All they had to do was look and live. Is that not right? So, but the Bible said many people died. Did you read that? We read that earlier, didn't we? Didn't the Bible say many people died? Y'all remember that? Many people died. So here's my question. Some of them died, most likely, no doubt. We know this is true. Some of them died before the remedy. Some of them died before they went to Moses and confessed, and Moses made the serpent of brass. Is that not correct? That's what motivated them, because everybody's dying. So some of them died before. But do you think it's conceivable? The Bible doesn't say. But is it conceivable after the serpent was raised in the air, that some people could have died after that? Is that conceivable? Sure, it's conceivable. I think it's possible. They could have. I mean, you think about it. There's possible somebody's in that tent and he's dying. And somebody said, hey, if you'll look at that serpent, what serpent? The one Moses made a serpent out of brass, and he's got it up in the air out there. And if you look at it, you'll live. And somebody said, probably it might be possible. Somebody said, that's too easy. I'm in here dying. These fiery serpents are everywhere, and I'm dying, and all I have to do is look at something on a pole, and I'll live. Yeah, that's all you have to do. That's what God said. And they said, that's too easy. I'm not going to do it. Do you think anybody might have been in that boat? How many people sit in churches just like this and hear the gospel, and they say, they walk out the way they came in. In fact, you, brother, you, sister, first time you heard the gospel, and God began to quicken your heart and show you, or stir your heart and show you that you needed a Savior. Many of us, we walked out the way we came in. It wasn't that first time we got saved, was it? Many of us. So some of them said maybe something like this. Who's up there with that serpent? Moses. Oh, he walked by my tent last week and he didn't shake my hand. I don't have anything to do with him. Do you think some of them may have been a little bit upset with Moses? I don't have anything to do with Moses. I don't like him. So there's a lot of reasons, aren't there? But I'm telling you, it's conceivable. And again, I'm not adding anything to the Bible. I'm letting you know the Bible doesn't say this particularly, but it is definitely possible that even after the point where nobody had to die, some people died. And it's something as simple as the gospel. And people hear the gospel and walk away, not coming to Jesus for salvation. If people do that, then it would be very easy to believe the same type of people, we're all humans, would do this in this case. It would not be the case. So Moses standing up there with this serpent, and all he had to do was look and live. Let me show you something in the Bible. Exodus 12:37, if you'll turn there with me quickly. Exodus 12:37. Look what the Bible says there. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth about, look at this. All I want you to see is this one little thing. 600,000 on foot that were men. 600,000 on foot that were men. So according to the Bible, there's 600,000 men in this crowd. All right? So if there's 600,000 men, then it means there's probably also going to be 600,000 women. Would that be about right? Didn't say children, it said men. So 600,000 men, 600,000 women. So how many people we got right now? Let's see, naught carry your naught times three, carry your three. What is that? 600,000 men, 600,000 women. Now we got how many people? 1.2 million. Right? Everybody good? 6 plus 6, 12, 1, 12, 1.2. 1.2 million. Okay, now let's say, so there's 600,000 families, men, women, let's say married. And each family, now the Jewish people were kind of like independent Baptists. They tend to have a lot of kids. But let's just say they only had two each, okay? So there's 600,000 families. Each family has two kids. How many kids are there? 1.2 million. So there's 600,000 men, 600,000 women, 1.2 million children. Almost said chillens. 1.2 million children. So how many all together? Yeah, something like that. Whatever you said. Here's what it sounded like. So, is it 2.4 million? Are we good on that? Everybody okay with that? If you don't believe that, just trust us, okay? That's correct. It's 2.4 million. All right, so here's the way it's turned out. So it's 2.4 million families. There's 600,000. So we come out of there, and we Pastor Becker and I, when we first left Egypt, we just shared a tent. So he's got his wife and youngins, and I got my wife and youngins, and we're sharing a tent. But after about 2 months, you know what I told him? I can't handle this anymore. I said, I know, but only told him that because I heard him say it the night before. Because we're in a tent, right? So we hear everything. And so it's like, I got to get my own tent. So by the end of like 2 or 3 months, I mean, we got tents and chickens. I got a few head of chicken. By the way, you know what I'm saying? So where were we last night, Jill? We're in some town between here and San Francisco. Okay? And I'm thinking California, this is California. And you know what I heard this morning about 5 a.m.? A rooster. I live in Virginia. I hadn't heard a rooster in months. And in California, I hear a rooster. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But I have roosters in my tent and hens because hens lay eggs and eggs are getting expensive. Best way to solve the egg problem is buy a hen, a laying hen. Anyway, So I got my tent. Pastor got his. But after a few months, there's probably 600,000 of us has tents. Is that okay? Everybody okay with that? I don't want to stretch this thing. I want you to leave here and say, oh, that was pretty good and all, but I think you're stretching that. I'm not stretching it. That would make sense. Okay. So, if I got a tent, I need a tent plot. And I figure about, I don't know how big, you think about how big my tent plot is, but we need to lay these tents out. If I only got four tents, the most efficient way to lay out those tents is two in the front and two in the back. That's four, right? Still okay? That made him mad. Okay, good. It's working now. Thanks. Okay, so we got, if we only have four tents, two and two, right? What if we had nine tents? What would be the best way to lay them out? Three, right? Three across, three back. Three rows, three columns. What if I had 16? What would be the best way to lay them out? So think checkerboard, okay? Four across, four back. Everybody okay? Is this the deaf ministry over here? Hallelujah. I love that. So we got four tenths, nine tenths, 25 tenths, what's it going to be? Huh? 25 tenths, what's it going to be? Somebody said five. Five across, five back. Everybody still okay? I'm not giving you flashbacks back to math class, am I? Some of you starting to sweat on me. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you anything, you know, personally. By the way, what if it's a, no, I'm just kidding. What if it's 81? 81 tenths, what's it going to be? Nine across and 100. 10 across and 121. 11 across and 625. 625 tenths. Good. Good. Whoever said 25, you're dead on. You may have been guessing. You knew it though, didn't you, ma'am? Yes, she knew it. Yes. I knew that. Everybody okay? Checkerboard, 25 by 25, how many tenths? 625. I think I said there were 900,000 tenths. Somebody's already got my answer. I think somebody actually said that answer. Are you kidding me? I got it written down here. If you have 600,000 tenths, you need 775 tenths going this way and 775 tenths going that way. And that'd be 600,625. Is everybody okay? Everybody okay with that? Now, I said a moment ago, every tent plot, Pastor, I got chickens, and my wife needs to wash the clothes. Well, or I need to help her, which I never do. I can say that. You know, it's not her job. But basically, if it's defined by who does the work, it is her job. So we get a place for all that. So let's say 15 by 15 feet. Is that enough for each tent? That'd be small, wouldn't it? It'd be a small tent plot, would it not? Don't worry, I'm almost done. It's 7:26. This message is almost over. So I got 15 by 15, right? Okay, everybody okay with that? My tent plot, everybody's good. Y'all still good over there? Okay, my tent plot is 15. Man, brother, you laugh at all my jokes. I appreciate you. Amen. I'm taking you on the road with us. Jill, he's going with us. Amen. See, he's laughing now. Amen. Sit up here and laugh while people, that way people know when to laugh. Just kidding. Okay. 15 by 15. Everybody good? Praise God. Where's my Bible? Okay. 625 this way, 625 that way. No, I said 625. I'm wrong. I said that wrong. It's 775 this way, 775 that way. Everybody still good? Now get this. Each plot's 15 by 15. Here's what that means. This way, we got 11,625 feet. And that way, we got 11,625 feet. Now, I don't know much, but I know 5,280 feet's a mile. So this way, it's more than 2 miles. And that way, it's more than 2 miles. Everybody okay? Actually, it's 2.2 miles. Okay. So Moses stand up here with a serpent on a pole. I'm going to do this. Not only am I from Virginia, but I'm from Southwest Virginia. And here's the way they'd do it where I'm from. Hey, y'all! Hey! I got this here pole, and on top is a serpent. If that snake bites you, then just look up there at that serpent, and you'll be healed. Hey, y'all, you understand me? That's how we'd do it in Virginia. Not in Virginia, as in Northern Virginia, as in Richmond, Virginia, as in Petersburg, Virginia, but as in Bristol, Virginia, where I'm from. And all these people in the front row, they heard me, didn't they? And they're rolling out. And they're saying, if I look at that serpent, I'll live. And this tent right here, their little boy was dying, and suddenly he's healed, and they start shouting and praising God because he's healed and he's not going to die. And these folks over here, they heard it, and folks are getting healed. But beside them, in this tent, right beside them, there's nothing stirring in this tent. And they're not coming out. And these folks are celebrating, and they're singing songs about how they got healed. And they're praising God for healing them. Wonder if it ever occurred to them to come out of their tent and make sure the person in this tent heard the good news. What if it ever occurred to them that maybe my neighbor, maybe the TV's on too loud and they hadn't heard, or maybe the chickens are cackling too loud and they hadn't heard, but maybe I could go knock on their door and say, hey, I got good news for you. Moses up there, the serpent on a pole, and if you'll look at it, you'll live. What kind of person is going to stay in their tent and celebrate what God did for them and not make sure their neighbor heard the good news? And then suddenly, I got people a quarter mile back. I got people a mile back. Do you think it's conceivable that somebody died because they didn't know there was a remedy? Is that conceivable? First time I ever taught this, preached it, whatever I'm doing. We were at a missions conference. The pastor said, you and your wife have the children tonight, and we're going to be out here having the missions conference. So I said, okay, we went there. There's about 20 or 30 kids, 15 or 20 kids. And I know Sri Lanka is the snake bite capital of the world. More people die from snake bite than any place in the world. And I thought, well, that's an interesting factoid. Kids will get interested in that. We'll catch them with that. And then I thought, what's a good message about snakes? And this came to mind. I was preaching the same message. And I said, what happened? Why did so many people die? And this little girl, about 6 years old, sitting right back here, and she said, they didn't know. They didn't know. Do you think it could ever occur to somebody in these first three or four rows to maybe send somebody back or go back themselves if they can and make sure those people half a mile back got the word? Those two people 2 miles back, they do not, brothers and sisters, they don't have a chance. You say, wait a minute, that's not fair. Of course it isn't. What's not fair is anybody gets to hear. The remedy's for everybody. And God doesn't give us how they got the word spread amongst the camp. But you know this, if a word didn't get spread, people died. That didn't have to die. You see that? You know what God, Jesus died for the sin of the world. Nobody in Tanzania has to go to hell. Nobody in Yugoslavia, nobody in India, nobody in China. Nobody in California. He died for everybody. And everybody that gets saved, God gives them one job to do. You know what He tells us to do? Make sure everybody knows how to get what you got. This front row, you know what Moses could have said? I don't know, he didn't. With the gospel, which is far more important than a snake bite, we don't know how he did it. But he could have said, hey, you guys make sure everybody else knows. Couldn't Moses have said, hey, make sure everybody else knows. You got it, make sure everybody else knows how to get it. They may not get it, but at least they'll know how. You know what God told us? The very same thing. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what that essentially is saying? You got it. Make sure everybody else knows how to get it. Who's going to sit around and not be a part of that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on Him in whom they have not? If they don't hear, they don't believe. And if they don't believe, they don't call. And if they don't call, they don't get saved. You know what people in Tanzania that never hear, you know what happens to them? They go to hell. Boy, it's hard, isn't it? Really? This is hard. But it's true. Let me tell you the good news. And I'm done. Philippians 4:15. I'm going to tell you some good news right here. Philippians 4:15. Philippians 4:15. Here's what the Bible says. Notwithstanding, you've done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. I can tell you right now, Shasta Baptist Church, I can tell you right now, even in Sri Lanka, you sent once and again under my necessity. I ate because you gave. I put fuel in my vehicle because you gave. I sat in the sand and preached the gospel because you gave. That's a fact. Bible fact. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So you don't have to go to the back row. If you can't, hey, you can't get to Tanzania. You can't get to Sri Lanka. You can't get to India. But you can help somebody get there. You know what God puts beside your name? Sri Lanka, Tanzania, India. He puts that beside your name. See how good He is? See, you don't have to go over the whole camp. But if you can find somebody that's going, that needs to get a Big Mac, you can pay for that Big Mac. And you get in on it just as much as He does. God didn't put a gold star by my name and a silver star by yours, Pastor. He doesn't. God didn't put Sri Lanka in big, bold, capital letters by my name and little bitty small letters by your name. He puts the same Sri Lanka by all of our names. And by the way, that's why missionaries give. That's why missionaries give to missions. So I don't just want Sri Lanka by my name. I want Tanzania by my name. I want India by my name. Best thing that happened to a church financially is if every single person gets sent to the mission field, because all of them tithe and all of them give to missions. This church would be rolling in money if everybody went to the mission field. Everybody get the message? Do you get it? What you do with it really be up to you. But I just want you to leave with two things. You don't have to go over the whole camp, but you need to get involved. I want to give to missions. Pastor, this is really my heart. I want to give to getting the gospel to the world. Like 1,000 years from now, I will wish I had given. Nobody ever got to heaven. No one ever, never got to heaven and said, you know what? I took this missions things a little too seriously. Nobody ever, a lot of people saying it here. Nobody ever got to heaven and said it. I wish, you think everybody ever walked into heaven's gates and said, you know what, Lord, I have one regret. I gave too much to missions. I'm finished, Pastor. Amen.
Head bow and eyes closed. I believe that God spoke to hearts tonight. The message is very clear and simple. Look and live. Aren't you thankful for Jesus who died on the cross to offer